Hello, I'm Wolfgang Bauer. I'm currently in Chicago on a research trip to speak to a couple of credit analysts to get an update on the US corporate bond market. One of the areas I would like to focus on is the healthcare sector, clearly one of the topics that has been front and center recently. I'm joined here by Laura Riedmeier, Managing Director and healthcare credit analyst here at PPM America in Chicago. Laura, thank you for being here and taking the time.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Probably a good topic to start off is the generic pharmaceutical space. Again, lots of media attention recently, especially around the names like Teva and Mylan, who have actually outperformed for most of the year the general healthcare triple Bs, but the latest earnings releases revealed some pressure on drug pricing. So I would be interested to hear your view on that sector.
Yeah, so adverse trends are affecting the generic manufacturers right now, with the players experiencing high single-digit deflation. It is noted on most of the earnings calls that that's expected to continue throughout 2018 and perhaps even longer. So they're faced with a couple of headwinds. You have the buyer group consolidation that's happened over the last year, where you have the top three are now representing about 90% of purchasing volume, where back in 2015 it was about 75%. And then also you have accelerated approvals coming out of the FDA, which is leading to increased competition and lower drug pricing. Now, it was initially viewed that that may have been a benefit for the generic manufacturers for the increased generic approvals. However, to date, we're just seeing declining pricing and declining volumes. It's important to note, though, that of the accelerated approvals thus far, we haven't really seen any complex generics, where it seems to be for those players that you've identified where most of their pipeline exists. So it could be a benefit in the future once we start to see the more complex generics starting to expedite approval.
Thank you for that. Probably take one step back and look at the healthcare system as a whole. One of the most interesting charts I've come across recently compares per capita healthcare spending with average life expectancy over time and for different countries. And the US are clearly the outlier. So how come that although the healthcare spending in the US is so high, life expectancy is still lower than in other developed countries?
So in terms of life expectancy being lower in the U.S., I would say probably the answer to that is that Americans tend to be less healthy than abroad. So in the U.S., we have higher rates of chronic conditions, we have higher rates of obesity, and we also have higher rates of infant mortality. And in terms of the cost, currently the U.S. spends around 17% of GDP on healthcare. This is almost 50% more than the average of that's spent abroad on healthcare. And a lot of the higher cost comes from higher utilization rates. Currently in the U.S., there's a lot of diagnostic imaging that takes place when Americans go to the healthcare, to the doctor. So you have a higher rates of MRI, CT scans. And then also our pricing is higher as well. So we have pharmaceutical products that are not only utilized more in the U.S., average pill per person, but we also have the cost being almost double what's seen in other countries. And the cost of surgeries is higher in the U.S., in the U.S. as well. So while the U.S. doesn't spend a large amount on social programs to date, that may change now that we're shifting to more of a payer's reimbursing on outcomes rather than just visits, and we may see a shift in the kind of graph that you've seen where we see less spend and maybe the expectancy going up in the future.
Moving on to U.S. healthcare politics, from a very high level, what makes the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, such a controversial piece of U.S. healthcare legislation? And furthermore, if the Republicans succeed in repealing Obamacare, how is their replacement, if there is any, going to look like?
So Obamacare, in terms of why it's a controversial piece of legislation, I would say largely because it was a social program that was passed without bipartisan support. So you had the wealthy and industry subsidizing the less wealthy healthcare in the U.S., and that was not viewed favorably by the Republican Party. Going forward for repeal and replace, we've seen that you know, it's difficult to predict if anything may happen, and it certainly is probably something that is going to take longer than the 100 days that they proposed to get something done. But I think we'll see something with more bipartisan support. They'd like to involve the Democrats, and therefore it will not be as different from the current plan that we have out there today in terms of what we may see going forward. So I think we'll still see Medicaid expansion existing. We'll still see the exchanges out there. There may be less dollars allocated to this. We may or may not see the individual and employer mandates pulled back as well. But it's very topical and changes daily. So to predict what may happen is a little bit difficult at this time.
Apart from these political uncertainties in the U.S. healthcare system, another area of concern for many corporate bond investors is event risk in the healthcare space. This year, M&A activity has been fairly muted compared to previous years, but do you expect a pickup in transaction volumes going forward?
In terms of M&A event risk, you talked about the volume being significantly lower in 2017. I think that stems from the fact that a large majority of players are waiting to see what happens in the U.S. with tax reform. So you've had players say that they'd like to wait and see what happens later in this year as the Republicans likely shift to tax reform during the fall session. So maybe we'll have some clarity in that by year end. In terms of other players, they're out there saying they don't mind taking action now if they can find something. The other thing is that valuations still remain high within the space, and there still is uncertainty what may happen with drug pricing and just future legislation in the industry as well. So perhaps we'll see some increased volume activity, if not in later 17. I think we'll definitely see it in 18 as pharma looks to bolster its pipe.
Thank you very much for your time. These are my three key takeaways for the U.S. healthcare space. First, uncertainty around U.S. healthcare legislation is likely to persist for the time being. It's very hard at the moment to predict what exactly is going to happen, but any kind of replacement of the Affordable Care Act is likely to involve some form of bipartisanship in Congress. Second, pressures on drug prices are a severe headwind for generic pharmaceuticals, and this tough market environment is unlikely to change for the better anytime soon. Third and finally, in terms of event risk, it might be the proverbial calm before the storm right now. A lot of pharma companies seem willing to engage in M&A activities, but right now they're sitting on their hands and wait for more clarity in terms of U.S. tax reform.